Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z Rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me for the discourse on this episode is Aaron!
Jason!
And Melissa.
I have two syllables! No, three. Man, I just fucked that up just straight up and down. Well, that sets the tone for me for this show.
Every week on this show, we cover three episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z. And we are now knee-deep in the Majin Buu saga, because we have met the titular Buu.
My pant legs are wet.
You're lucky you have them. Not a big old diaper.
Sure is a diaper that he's got.
Sure is.
Sure is a fashion choice. Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to my question for my esteemed panel.
Yes.
That is tangentially related to the episodes. If you were to design a monster, like if you were a wizard designing a familiar, what choices would you make vis-a-vis shape, color, and fashion?
Well, what's the purpose of this monster? Is it to, like, destroy the universe and all life in it?
Yeah, universal destruction, mostly. Okay. Or any other wizard tasks. Anything you got on the wizard docket.
Guess what? I'm going to use this moment to just flex on my DM skills. Oops.
Please do.
Welcome to Jason Makes Scary Cool Bosses on his Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Can I venture a guess?
My favorite one so far... go ahead.
Is it Crystalline?
Actually, I liked that one, but I was thinking of a more recent one. This one is more lunar.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, and Melissa, you might like this. I made this cool cult. Who worshipped?
Check out his cult.
Check out this cool
it's pretty
cult.
Chill.
Yeah.
Well, they worship this goddess in D&D called Saonin, and she's like the goddess of the moon, right?
Okay.
And these cultists literally said, "In the name of the moon, we shall punish you."
Nice.
Except it wasn't nice.
They were not nice. Their whole thing was they resurrected a dark lunar avatar as some kind of a weird, not Lovecrafty, but kind of like weird, dark, soulsy, bossy, crazy minion thing. And she was known as the Lunatic Queen, and her head was just this massive moon, and she had she was like several feet tall, like 15 or so feet tall. She had, like, an extremely long neck and a very elaborate red wedding dress. Think, like, Queen of Yharnam, Bloodborne sort of stuff. And she had big old long claws, and she just, like, spun around and slashed people.
And she ate my damn leg.
She did, in fact, eat Tyler's character's leg. Well, to be fair...
Well, no, that got cut off when we teleported to the moon.
Yeah, the milk did it.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
When she bled, it was like yucky milk.
Yeah, she bled moon milk.
It was bad.
Yeah, not great.
But we thought we were just getting into a cool American Idol Battle of the Bands in D&D, but no, it was to find the host for this terrible moon goddess.
Yeah, just for a little bit of context for the listeners, the game that Jason DMs that Aaron and I both play in, we treat it like an anime. It has episode numbers and titles.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of doing character-centric arcs. And for mine, I requested that it be a idol contest.
American Idol style. Yeah.
And we ended up fighting the moon.
Fighting the moon on the moon.
Yeah, that the moon seems... was sentient and needed a host.
Mm-hmm. But look on the bright side, I had you guys fight her to Ariana Grande.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That's cool.
Man, I need to play D&D again.
It's a good time.
Gosh, I mean, nothing I can do would be that cool. And like,
yeah, it's kind of a showstopper.
Shit.
I'm reaching deep into like my most evil heart, but I'm not feeling very evil today. I had a good weekend. I had lots of naps in the sunshine. I think I would lean into being kind of a lazy cat of a wizard. And I would make, like, a familiar who could do my job for me. And my understanding of wizards is they, like, you know, give swords and or lightsabers to youths and send them on quests.
Sure.
So I'd just make, like, a porcupine kind of guy. Kind of little monster. Honestly, probably it would look a lot like Bibbidi. except it would have little porcupine spikes of, like, different kinds of swords and... And electric screwdrivers and sabers and whatever.
He just send it on a target run,
basically. And
it just comes back with like little shopping bags on each of the spines.
Yeah, and it could just, you know, go out and find youths what need to go on a divine journey of great importance, and hand them their magic weapon and tell them to use the force or whatever. So I can just keep, you know, playing Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. In my lizard tower.
I keep feeling like I'm just gonna describe my dog. And she's not really gonna be very good at taking over the world so much.
Dog, but purple.
Oh, there we go.
You were describing some of her crimes before we started recording.
She yeah.
Do some mischief.
Oh, there she can mischief. Do mischief for sure. She'll do mischief. She'll, go after your pant legs. Like, there's no tomorrow. So look out, pant legs. It's
like,
short season this
like
winter.
Bite them?
they make a good tug of war toy.
Oh.
while they're on you.
Oh man, she's gonna take everybody's pants. There will be no more pants in the world, in the universe.
That's my mission, my wizard mission, pantsless yeah. world.
Rid the world of pants.
Yeah.
Parappa, no pants. Parappa, pantsless.
Tyler, did you have
Tyler,
an answer?
What about you?
I'm still thinking.
Tyler,
I don't have great
sculpt
answers.
For us a demon. We demand it.
Make it so that when your monster comes out, everyone is going to run around and suffer until they die, which is a thing Bobbity said in these episodes.
I kind of like the friendly approach to this monster, honestly.
Yeah, you can make a friendly monster.
Yeah, because I think it makes it more scary the times that he is scary.
Yeah.
Like Goku.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Childish and yet so destructive. Weird.
It also sets your...
And hungry.
Very hungry.
It creates a false sense of security because you're like, oh, it's so funny and cute.
Uh-huh. And then it does horrible things.
Yeah.
When I was a DM briefly, I made these little rat babies that I was pretty happy with. Do you remember them, Jason?
I think so. Was one of them named Bone Thug?
Yeah, you guys kidnapped one and named it Bone Thug.
That's right.
But it was basically a toddler or a 1-year-old, but covered in rat fur and with blind little eyes.
I love that.
And sharp teeth.
You had some good freak ass monsters. There was Somni, who always gave me the heebie jeebies.
It was just a thing that I didn't have a face. That's easy.
I mean, sometimes simple and clean is the way that it's making me feel. It's just hard to let it go.
Would you guys like to talk about hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
Hit anime Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
This week we are covering episodes 232, 233, and 234. The English title for 232 is Boo is Hatched.
The Japanese title roughly translates to I Won't Allow the Revival, a Kamehameha of Resistance.
That's a spicy fancy one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to talk about the narrator real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The narrator had a line that jumped out at me. Something to the effect of, if Gohan and the Supreme Kai don't act quickly, the Supreme Kai's careful plan will end in failure.
Thank you. And thank you. I do remember this.
I would like to know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, what careful plan? From what vantage point is this plan here?
The careful plan that he had beforehand, where he was just gonna check in on Earth and make sure that everything was all good, and then go do whatever he was gonna do.
That is about as careful as it got.
It seems like his plan was to watch until it was too late, and that has gone swimmingly.
Yeah.
Completely.
Just no action until it's too late.
Poor.
And we've arrived.
Well, I said, what was the adjective that described the plan?
Careful.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean good.
It doesn't. You're right. He did carefully plan something bad.
He was being careful.
Yeah, the plan itself is careful.
Mm-hmm.
It's cautious.
Because he cares. He's full of care.
He is full of the feelings kind of care, not necessarily the, like, doing things precisely and well.
Right, not the craft of the plan. There's yucky egg stuff going on with this this magic ball of Boo. It's
pulsing.
Undulating.
It's brown now. I liked it better when it was pink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now it's like brown and glowing reddish from the inside, and it's like just not pleasant to look at.
No.
Uh-uh.
No.
There's a shit ton of birds that are roosting on the Piccolo statue.
So many birds.
I don't know where they all came from suddenly.
Around.
Because we needed birds in a little bit, so now we have birds for now, I guess. Maybe they migrate, and the people that got murdered around the spaceship, they were seagull farmers, and they just kind of come and go like cows, you know, how the cows come home at the end of the day.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That old adage, till the gulls come home.
Are they there to observe their champion, Gohan?
Oh, lend him their energy.
Yeah, their bird energy. He needs it.
Yeah, he does.
Supreme Kai calls for a retreat, but Gohan wants to stand his ground to at least try and stop this monster from hurting people. Because he has people that he cares about,
mm-hmm.
is his reasoning.
I mean that. Because it's what his dad just said to him. Think about the people you care about.
It's what
but
he's
then
doing.
He also says, and this time around, I'm not going to just stand by and let them all get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, aw, you remember the mistakes you made with Cell.
Huh, but I also remember your folly.
Also, I feel like if Boo is as bad as everybody says, like, running away doesn't seem like it would help much, realistically.
Given all of the bad plans today, it's not the worst one.
Yeah.
But this is a careful plan, Melissa.
Okay.
It's so careful.
Okay.
I feel like it's a pretty good plan. You're up against an unstoppable force. Get away and make a more careful plan.
A careful-er plan.
A better, gooder plan.
About leaving the planet to live somewhere else.
Living on New Namek.
Let's take a field trip.
Bunking with cargo.
Can see if Vegeta can snap out of his little forehead Majin times.
Mm-hmm.
Words are hard sometimes.
Gohan gets big mad. And he prepares a Kamehameha, which is yellow for some reason.
I always thought that was weird.
He says the words, but it's not the right color.
Yeah.
I popped over to Japanese a little bit here and there, and mm-hmm. he doesn't say Kamehameha. He just kind of goes, Vah!
That's, really?
That's even weirder because they call it that in the title.
He did. Yeah, they yeah. did. And he does his hands. He does the Kamehameha hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I just like Bobbity's response of, "No, what do you suppose got into that one?"
Kids today.
These whippersnappers.
Deborah saves Bobbity, and I have a prediction. I bet Deborah's gonna be a new friend.
Yeah?
Because the way he saves Bobbity is like, this is how good guys save people. I bet he's a good dude.
Deep down in his demon heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The egg suffers no ill effect from this and continues to hatch, so Gohan tries again.
He come home, I can't.
Goten and Trunks are still making progress towards their dads, but they start to feel Gohan's crazy energy, and they get a little confused about which way to go.
Luckily, some birds show up.
They see the birds freaking
now
out
Goten
in the distance.
Goten sees a bird.
He loves birdies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Follow the birdies.
They sound scared, and so they figure the scarier way is more fun.
Fear is joy.
To children.
That's where the monster is. That's probably where our dads are, because if there's an evil thing, they're probably fighting it. For
sure.
They're
gonna miss it.
And they're gonna miss it. They want to see the monster before their dads just vaporize it in an instant because of how powerful the Vegeta is, and Goku, I guess, also.
Tremors from the hatching are being felt all the way over at the World Tournament, and Hercule continues to display his uncanny ability to calm everybody down with his bravado. Just by existing.
That. I was so confused as to why all of a sudden we were freaking out again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because people were pretty chill about all of the death that occurred last episode. We've kind of calmed down.
It's either the hatching or it's the Kamehameha hitting the egg. It's unclear what is causing tremors, but it's something over in that direction.
The main thing that stood out to me in this scene is that the announcer guy is having a conversation with Mr. Satan, and the announcer is using the microphone.
He's still announcing.
For the entirety of the conversation.
It's probably turned off at this point, but he needs it.
There's an echo to it.
He's also referring to the ending of the tournament as sort of a downer.
It's kind of a bummer, yeah.
But a bit of a bummer-esky.
I mean, maybe that's what they teach you in announcer school. When a crisis is happening, do not let go of your microphone, no matter what's happening. Keep talking into a microphone or the nearest microphone-like object.
Hope that it gets recorded.
Right. It's for posterity.
Yeah. Hercule just wants to get his prize money and bounce already. He is done with this place.
Can't give anybody prize money unless there's an audience watching.
Apparently. Can't just fucking send me the check or whatever. Send it to me in Panera gift cards.
That's the whole point of a tournament.
It is incredibly humbling when we pull away from the scene of the World Martial Arts Tournament. Like, it's a zoom out going up, like we're in a helicopter or something, and we just see this background painting of two massive beams gouged into the landscape, and it is, ooh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is spicy.
It makes it even stranger that everyone seems to have already forgotten.
Yeah.
The memories are really short in Dragon World. There's a lot going on.
Well, I can give that a pass.
I feel like
with,
maybe
like,
people,
crowds.
Maybe people just like hit their heads a lot. It's one of those kind of worlds.
It's just, yeah, the spirit of this world just loves a good bonk on the noggin. I don't know. Maybe they're just in a fugue state. They just can't believe what is happening.
There's a lot to process there.
Maybe this is... Oh no, how could I have forgotten his name? The little dude. The little new commie. Oh no.
Dende.
I keep thinking Nail. Dende. But Nail is in Piccolo. Dende, maybe Dende was just like, oh shit, this is real bad. I've gotta do something. And he, like, I don't know, dumped some chill the heck out water in the windy place.
Slam it in there, Popo.
It's an emergency.
Just hotboxed that whole stadium, so they just chill out for a minute.
It's a light sedative over the entire planet.
Yeah, I was about to say, he just slams his CBD jewel into the fountain.
Gohan keeps trying to destroy the egg, but is seeming like he is already too late. And he does manage to pop it up in the air briefly, but when it lands, it cracks open.
Like a little walnut.
I hate that it has just hardened from being a stretchy, goopy thing. It's too yucky to me.
It reminds me of a Wonder Ball. I wonder what's inside. It looks like a chocolate orb that's filled with your favorite candy and temporary tattoos. temporary tattoos of Phoebus from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
And you bought it at the store yesterday, 2019.
Yep.
Well aged. Mm-hmm. It's just a fine vintage of
a vintage Phoebus tat. Jason, what's inside this Wonder Ball?
It is a amorphous pink mist.
It's the Pokemon Ditto. It's the little pink guy from Treasure Planet. It's nothing.
It's not Krillin.
It seems to be empty except for this little pink puff of smoke that floats into the atmosphere. And Supreme Kai starts cracking up because he finally caught a fucking break today.
Then he immediately starts monologuing. And one of the things he says in his monologue, he says, fooled by overconfidence. Which... just was some good dramatic irony to me.
Shen.
Come on, buddy.
Buddy. There's no triumphant music playing right now, but it's completely silent.
I know you have to have seen an anime somewhere. You're the god of the universe. There has to be an anime somewhere in the galaxy. You know that the bad guy's there somewhere.
I guess he can't start
monologuing immediately.
I guess he wasn't there the first time when Boo hatched.
Yeah, he only knows what it looks like, and pink smoke is not what it looks like in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling real good. He's ready to take down Bobbity if Gohan wants to take care of the Demon King. But Gohan's a little distracted by something.
Yeah, notice Gohan has not taken part in the banter of Supreme Kai.
He was sure that attack that he did wasn't enough to destroy the power that he felt inside the egg.
And he still feels the power.
And he notices something that no one else does.
Yeah. Well, everyone's looking like straight forward. No one's heads are tilted up slightly.
Uh-huh.
They remind me of how my dog was. She just did not understand up. Like the concept of the direction. If you threw a ball, it disappeared. It did an instant transmission. It
disappeared and then reappeared behind her.
I mean, I guess technically it did travel in another dimension. So.
The third one.
The up one.
The up dimension.
He looks up and he discovers a large cloud of pink smoke wafting in the sky.
Real big. Real big.
Real solid.
It got really big.
Real taffy-like, almost. Hmm.
Goku and Vegeta are still beating the hell out of each other.
Uh-huh.
And it is impeccably animated.
It's really good. They're butting heads at first, and I just thought, this is so perfectly dumb of them.
Yep. I will also give a shout-out to the fact that the famous patented Son Goku headbutt is being met blow for blow by Vegeta's own.
We don't use this for think, we only use it for hit.
It's a pair of rams.
Yeah, exactly.
Use your head. Yeah, this is a good-looking fight. I forgot that fights could, like, involve people moving their bodies in significant ways, you know?
Yeah, like animation is hard.
Beams. Yeah. I don't know. I believe it. I had one of those, like, stick people animating programs, and he didn't even have to do, like, actual animation, but it's real hard. So actually animating not stick people, I bet, is even harder. Mm-hmm. So they did a good job.
The pink smoke begins to coalesce. It takes on a humanoid shape, and when it finally finishes, it is a pink weirdo in a diaper.
It's boo time.
I really appreciate the reaction shot of everyone desaturated when they see this thing.
Here comes the boo! Here comes the boo!
What a smiley little guy. Just a little stretches. He's just happy to
He's
be
doing
here.
He's doing his little poo bear stretches.
What a happy boy.
There is a wealth of, like, literary things that this makes me think of, and Pooh Bear was the first. Okay, literary is a strong word
for Winnie the Pooh
that I'm thinking. No, well, Winnie the Pooh is maybe the most literary of the things that I will reference in the next couple minutes.
Bobbity and Deborah are not even sure what Boo is supposed to look like, but when they see how scared the Supreme Kai is, Bobbity becomes sure that this is in fact Majin Boo.
It's probably it.
Yeah, that's probably him then.
Majin Buu wanders his way over to Gohan and Supreme Kai, and he looks them over. And he seems unimpressed and just sort of flips and butt slams his way away.
He's just like, Zweiler looking at him and decides, uh-uh. Majin Buu's here, good vibes only. Bad vibes.
Majin Buu absolutely would have a printed canvas of that up in his dorm room.
He also wanders over to Bobbity, who tries to tell him that he's his new master, but Boo just toddles away in a random direction.
Bad vibes there, too. Let me just go over here. Just have fun with myself. Just happy to be here. Stretch my legs, clap my little hands and my little mittens. I like his mittens.
They're good mittens.
He's got a little cape.
He's waiting for Trunks and Gohan to get there so they can play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back at the fight, Goku remembers that there's a Majin Buu.
He remembers the plot.
Oh, shit. We had something else to do today.
Ah, fuck.
Any other notes for 232?
Goku's telling Vegeta, hey, wait a second. And Vegeta, like, just throwing on the brakes. Like, there was a full-on sound.
Yeah.
It is always good when there is a mid-air brake screech for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, especially with as dead set as Vegeta is on fighting Goku. Like, just that even in this state, he's still, like, listening. Oh, what?
How about this fashion?
Well, how about it? We got what appears to be a diaper.
A rotund pink man. With a little tassel on his head.
Yeah, tassel's a good word for it. He's got a fun vest. I really enjoy the cape a lot.
The cape is a good touch.
The cape is definitely an addition he made.
Yeah, it's got a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Do you think he made it inside the egg?
Yeah, why not? Got enough time in there.
Had a little knitting kit in there.
Well, I mean, what I don't know, what weirds me out is that he's got his belt up very high.
Yeah.
He's got a big Majin M belt, right? And that's where his poofy pants diaper thing is. My question is, like, what do his legs actually look like?
Yeah, he's got leggings on, which you don't usually wear those under a diaper.
Yeah. That's what alarms me, because it's like, is he just an orb with four kind of small stubby arms that can just move really fast? Does he have powerful thunder thighs? I don't know.
Yes, he
does. Okay, all right.
That's what I want to believe is under there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not speaking with future knowledge?
I don't know how much nakedness we see on Boo. We do see some.
Are you telling me we don't see his booty?
Upsetting, unknowing.
My initial thought when introduced to this lovely creature, was to wonder if he and King Kai ever get to hang out.
Oh my god.
I feel like...
probably enjoy one another's company.
Yeah.
As another creature whose legs I'm not sure how they work.
Fair.
They just have so much in common.
I don't know how his head works. Because, like, I've seen pictures of this character and, like, what I assume is other versions of this character before. Mm-hmm. And, like, all the little dots on his head and arms. I just thought, like, they were freckles.
Nope.
Steam vents.
Those are vents.
Yep.
But, like, with their positioning on his, like, there's not a lot of room for a brain.
No.
In there.
No, there ain't.
I don't know.
Do you think it's in that tentacle that's on his head?
That would be a bad place. That's where the brain is. I think.
Yeah.
I feel like that tentacle kind of makes me think of like an anglerfish, but it's going the wrong way.
Episode 233. The English title is "The Losses Begin." It's concerning.
I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, that's great. The Japanese title roughly translates to "A Straight Line to Despair." The grief of Kaioshin. I assume that's Supreme Kai.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Shin.
Duh! That makes sense.
We pick up exactly where we left off, which is Goku stopping the fight to remind Vegeta about Majin Buu. And Goku is not sure how the others are faring against Buu, which makes Vegeta start to cackle, because he assumes that they're fine.
Yeah.
This is just the Supreme Kai underestimating this planet entirely.
I mean, his argument makes sense.
It's very sound.
It's a good argument.
Oh, this scene is so good. Because every time Vegeta's talking, Goku's mouth is hanging open just slightly.
Yeah, he's a little wall-eyed.
He looks like that Pikachu meme. And they do it, and they have him do that same face across multiple shots.
It's in different camera angles.
Yeah, I'm imagining there just to be a meme of just like, Goku gives villains sensu beans, villains beats up Goku and all of his friends. Goku, eh?
I almost took a screenshot of this face with the subtitle underneath it of Vegeta laughing. It's good, because, yeah, Vegeta's saying that the Saiyan race has evolved since this Majin Buu was buried in the earth thousands of years ago, and themselves...
Supreme Kai has not been paying attention to this side of the universe, either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They themselves have, like, far surpassed anything that Supreme Kai seems to have seen, given his surprise.
Goku is not too sure about what Vegeta's saying, but Vegeta won't let him weasel out of this fight. Back at Boo's egg, Boo is doing some Sonic Idol animations, tapping his little foot, while Babidi introduces himself to the creature.
I'm your daddy!
Well, my daddy was your daddy, so I'm your big brother, but I'm the boss.
Rather than listening, Boo just sticks his big old tongue out at Babidi, and he almost gives the wizard a heart attack.
He does so much more than just stick his tongue out. This is extremely good. This Boo boy, he's got the jokes. He turns around, not facing the wizard, and he's like starts crumpling over and like holding his tummy. And Bobbity's like, oh no, is something incorrect with your body? Which is a wild way to ask if somebody's okay. Which I will use now.
Yeah, I'm going to
start
using
that too. Is there a malfunction?
And then Boo like doubles over even more. It's like about to be like something bad happening. And then he turns around and he's got his tongue out. It's like blah, 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 blah. It was very good. Very endearing.
I swear. I hope King Kai is watching this.
I hope King Kai is taking fucking notes on delivery.
The timing.
Deborah is not feeling too impressed by Boo after this display.
Mm-hmm. He's but a fool.
And Gohan is also wondering if the revival was botched because this thing is acting very infant-like.
Mm-hmm.
But Supreme Kai knows that this is the same old Boo.
Don't let his appearances fool you, Gohan. He's a monster! A monster with a cutesy mascot-like ideal.
After Supreme Kai says this, Boo stabs Deborah's eyes out with his hand.
Hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Right for the eyes, Deborah.
Boo does not kid around.
And then kicks him into a mountain.
Boo kids around and then doesn't kid around.
And then, extremely stops kidding around as quickly as possible.
And then kids around again because he applauds his own performance.
So, this mm-hmm. brings something up. You know how in the past we've talked about how villains reflect a side of you know, the main character?
Yeah.
Turned for evil?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we haven't seen?
What's that?
The side of Goku that is just an absolute dumbass. Who, was it Gordy who said very early in this podcast, exists mm-hmm. to eat and beat ass?
Beat ass.
Correct.
Yep.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
So,
are you noticing something similar here?
I'm noticing yeah. something similar. And just having a stupid amount of power to just pull from.
Yeah, Gohan is struggling to find words to describe what Boo's energy feels like. And the best one he keeps coming up with is just empty.
And that comes up later with Trunks and Goten, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty evocative for being very vague also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of know what he means, even though it means nothing.
I can think yeah. of what it feels like as compared to what, like, a living, non-constructed person's beams feel like, even though I have never been hit with a beam.
Sure.
Like, because, I mean, so many of these feelings and senses are just like, oh, terrible power, evil energy happening over here, awful, powerful, great, you know, or when we're going to the Cell Saga, it's just like, oh, I feel Vegeta and Goku, but also Frieza and King Cold, and what's happening, and now it's this is an overwhelming sense of nothingness.
Yeah.
Which it makes sense what you said, that his powers sort of don't follow a set rule set. If it's all just mm-hmm. like emptiness, you know, you can pull anything out of the void.
Oh yeah. And he does, and he will.
I'm buckled in, I'm ready, I'm excited.
We come back from a commercial break to enjoy a nice shower with Hercule.
Aww.
As he decompresses from this terrible day.
Buddy, I've been there. I like how he's just staring straight up into the faucet.
Yeah.
Champion of Earth, that one.
Eyes open. He's had a hard day.
This turned out to be a secret clip show as he remembers the events of the day.
Yep. Oops, we snuck one in on ya.
I mean, if it allows for that cool fight that we saw earlier, you know, save yeah. some time, budget.
It's a fair trade-off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a line that concerned me.
Yeah, I think I know what line you're talking about here.
In the English dub, anyway.
What was this?
He says, referring to the explosions and everything at the end of the tournament there, it felt so real, though. And one thing I know is that real things usually mean something bad.
He is a man who has wrapped up in lies so far, so far and deep that he has spun them into truth. He is the true Marquis de Carabas.
I heard that and I thought, you know, about Beelzebarbara, you know, his ex-wife that we made up for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something real. That's how you get hurt. As long as you keep things on the surface, keep things, you know, casual, keep things fake, it's whatever.
Reality is a con man's worst enemy.
A bunch of reporters bust down the bathroom door, and they catch Hercule in a wardrobe malfunction.
Their eyes are not googly.
A bunch of people interview him. His towel slips down. But here's what interests me. No one goes like, oh my, or it's like, and no one's like immediately shocked and embarrassed. You hear a collective, ooh, like, oh, this is fascinating. And they just resume just snapping at that hog.
Yes.
At least one of the cameramen was already like trying to position themselves to get up on like a shot under that towel anyway.
It becomes a feeding frenzy for the photographers.
And Hercule doesn't even react to it is it's the wildest part. He's just kind of looking out. It's like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, Jason. Whoops. Jason, he's done porn.
He has. See, this feeds that theory even further. Is like, he's just not ashamed. He's like, he knows his body. He knows it's beautiful.
And he knows his fans will pay out the nose.
It's like he knows he's going to be
beautiful.
He knows he's going. Yeah, exactly. He's going to be putting that on his OnlyFans.
Back at the fight, Goku keeps trying to convince Vegeta that they should stop fighting and work together to fight Majin Buu. He mentions Trunks and Bulma, and Vegeta doesn't care for that one bit.
He gets mad.
He gets big mad.
He gets upset and starts yelling at Goku to shut up.
That's how you know you got him.
He is still trying to convince himself that they don't matter to him anymore. But Goku knows otherwise.
This Majin Vegeta thing is really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he is like completely gone and brainwashed.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that he is at all.
He's just made a conscious decision to be evil again.
Right. Yeah. I think it's entirely placebo.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
He's lying to himself and it's allowed Babidi to sort of, you know, give him an honorary diploma of brainwashedness.
I honestly don't know if Babidi's powers worked at all, because Vegeta keeps saying, like, these people are nothing to us, and he's right. They are far outclassed by the Z Warriors. So I really don't know if the brainwashing had any effect whatsoever.
Do you think one of those times when Vegeta was like, oh, my head, he like got out a Sharpie and drew an M on his head?
Aww, buddy.
I wish that it would just streak in the middle of the fight.
Just smudges.
It
seems like maybe he, I don't know, Babidi was just kind of the permission giver, really, for what he had already wanted to do.
Yeah, it's an excuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah, facilitated, opened the door a little bit.
Enabled, yeah.
Another thing that I enjoy about Vegeta and his tirade against feelings and what counts as feelings is Goku sensed when Boo stopped kidding around and threw Deborah into a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Goku was saying, Vegeta, surely you felt that one.
Yeah, you felt that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Feelings are things that tell you about the world. Is seeing a feeling? Is smelling a feeling? Like, what feelings do we count, Vegeta? Just rage and strength. Ugh. These boys.
Goku punches Vegeta to the ground, and Vegeta finally concedes that they should postpone this fight until after Boo is gone.
Clearly Goku is distracted.
Yeah, he wants to fight Goku at his best, and Goku is distracted right now, so that's not his best.
So get out them senzu beans, buddy! Which, that's how you know Vegeta is not himself, if he's willingly.
There is something about the delivery of his line that, I don't know, it makes me happy every time I hear it, because he says,
well, don't just stand there, get out your senzu beans! We should be at full power when we face him!
It's surprisingly sing-songy for Vegeta.
I mean, he's speaking Goku's language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely want to
get strong, find fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those are Goku's favorite things.
Make sure to really dig in there, find the biggest and best beans. Turn your back on me for an extra long amount of time. I promise I'm not going to traitor you.
You know that one bean you have left? Really dig for it.
Yeah. Really give it a good hunt.
Were they planning on splitting it?
Probably.
The amount of time Goku spends turned around, and there's a camera for like a second, it cuts to Goku's eyes and he's like looking behind him a little bit. Maybe this is looking too much into Goku, giving too much credit to Goku, but I wonder if he's giving Vegeta a chance to like be good. Mm-hmm. And just saying, what will you do if I turn my back?
Let's see how this plays out. Yeah, Goku turns away and fiddles with his belt for way too long, and Vegeta knocks him the fuck out.
Punches a Super Saiyan out of him.
Yep.
Amazing. Yeah. That definitely appeals to the theory of, like, of the ki really only acts as a shield if you're paying attention to where the hit is coming from and mm-hmm. are expecting mm-hmm. to be hit.
Because mm-hmm. yeah, it really elucidates that rock scene.
He goes out.
Vegeta steals the last bean, resolving to take care of Boo by himself, because he doesn't want Goku to run off and be the hero again.
Taking care of Boo's ness.
Man, this is... It was interesting to me, the fact that Vegeta would willingly eat a bean. Mm-hmm. Because he's not a fan of them. But also
nobody's watching.
Well, fair. And he's wanting to be the hero, which, going back to talking about Boo is reflecting on Goku, and being... you know, the biggest clown of Goku. Since this is sort of a series of episodes where we're really focusing on Vegeta and his little hero's journey, Boo feels like what Vegeta thinks of Goku to me.
That's what he sees?
Yeah, like just, oh,
when
this,
he looks at Goku?
Yeah.
This clown, this, why? Why is this stronger than me? How can this be? I am so upset. Which you would be.
Yeah, Dev for sure. Everybody is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deborah certainly was.
Yes. Very upset. So I'm excited of all of these dominoes, little narrative dominoes that are getting set up and that are going to get knocked down.
I appreciate that Vegeta is willing to shift his own goalposts to just being better at heroing than Goku. He's gonna win at something today.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's how you succeed.
Boo is still mocking Babidi until the wizard threatens to put Boo back in the ball. And then Boo cleans up his act real quick and starts bowing.
Do you want to go back in the ball?
Oh, you master, you. Oh.
Supreme Kai obliquely references something here. He mentions that if only he'd paid closer attention to the warriors in this part of the universe, they could have relied on another method to defeat Boo, but now it's too late.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
thanks.
I guess we'll never know.
If only I'd paid attention to the warriors on the planet where the egg I buried is. If only.
We could have used that method. And Gohan's like, what method? And Supreme Kai's like, shut up.
Shut up, don't worry about it.
If only I'd paid attention to, I don't know, Frieza Force, the most powerful power level in the galaxy, supposedly. Paid attention to that saga, you'd know what was going on.
Do we get history on him?
On who? Supreme Kai?
Yeah.
Yes, there are, I don't remember when, but we'll get some flashbacks.
Okay, I just want to know what he's been up to. Like,
that I don't know if we get filled in on what he's been up to since the first time Boo went away.
Like what has he been doing since since then?
In the meantime,
yeah. Besides not paying attention,
probably there's a lot of paperwork.
Probably a lot of golf.
He probably thought he deserved it.
Shin. I believe in Shin.
He did watch four other Supreme Kais die.
I would bet he's got other things to deal with between the four corners of the galaxy and also Otherworld. Which, I was thinking about Otherworld and how, like, silly it was that it seemed to be run by two bureaucrats, Gauz and Mez, and how Hell really was just a carnival of 666 flags. Maybe that's because the King of the Demons is not there to make it, you know, hell. And Gauz and Mez are just sort of doing the best they can. And maybe Shin helps out. It's like, oh, you know what? Maybe hell doesn't have to be So bad. And also, hey, South Kai, could you put pants on, please?
Deborah put Gaz and Mez in charge of hell, and then Casual Friday got out of hand real fast.
Deborah put Gaz and Mez in hell, and they turned it into Disney's California Adventure.
Supreme Kai seems resigned to die at Boo's hands now, at this point.
This is the most...
We're just gonna have to leave it up to Goku and Vegeta. Hopefully yeah. They sort their shit out.
This is the most just giving up and laying your head on the train tracks move I've ever seen from Mr. Supreme Kai. Mr. Master Plan! He's just like, well, I guess we fucked up and we're gonna die. Let's hope Goku can fix it.
Just stamp dead on your forehead, to quote Gohan.
Mm-hmm.
An apt choice of words.
Uh-huh.
Given... all the Majin shenanigans.
Babidi gives the command to Boo to kill the Supreme Kai, but Gohan grabs the Kai and makes a frantic escape.
And it'll be fun, because he's really fast.
He's fast.
He's confident mm-hmm. in his speed.
He's quite confident in his speed, you know.
Boo very politely gives Gohan a head start.
Mm-hmm.
Just waits.
Yeah.
It's not a good game if... Yeah.
It's no fun.
And then he takes off like a bullet.
Running is more fun if you get to, you know, actually get up to your full speed. Gotta get the zooms.
Gohan thinks that he's gotten away, but Boo winds up in front of him.
Oops.
And he smashes Gohan's head.
But
real
not before
hard.
Going blah.
He spikes Gohan to the ground.
Tells him to drop dead.
Supreme Kai is now left defenseless before Boo, who is looming ever closer.
I mean, defenseless other than that, I mean, like, he can do shit.
Can he, though?
I mean, he tries real hard.
He does try really hard.
And that's really all that we ever ask of anyone.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Episode 234, the English title is The Terror of Mr. Boo.
Mr. Boo?
I love the Japanese title for this episode.
The Japanese title roughly translates to The Terrifying Majin. Death's Dread draws near Gohan.
So dramatic.
Death's Dread draws near. Boo looms in ever closer over a terrified Supreme Kai. Gohan mm-hmm. is doing his best to stand up. Not going well.
No.
Boo's approaching the Kai tummy first.
He is kind of like stretching it out towards him too when we cut to a profile shot. He's gonna bump him.
I love how Babidi continuously refers to Supreme Kai as a rat. Like, that's just his new favorite nickname for him.
It's, I would call that projection.
That's fair. Yeah. he's acting out of hurt, I think.
Yeah.
Supreme Kai asks if Boo remembers him, and Boo responds by giving him the Donkey Kong clap. Smashes his head between his two hands.
Clap. What alarms me is that the sound effect is just like a gentle clap sound, but then he removes his hands and
it's a mess down there.
Supreme Kai looks like his head has been pulped.
Like, it would be better if it was a fun cartoony pancake, but the fact that it's just like a dented head.
with bruising.
It's very
and...
worse.
Yeah.
And then he spikes the Supreme Kai to the ground, too.
I could have sworn that either at this point or at some point in the very, very near future, he is humming Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Yes, he does that a couple times.
Okay, thank you. I'm not the only one who heard that.
Supreme Kai rushes back up for some reason.
Yep.
Considering he wanted to run away.
It's a careful plan, Tyler.
I mean, you know, you gotta adapt to circumstances, and it's clear, A, that he's not as fast as Gohan, because when Gohan was flying, he was just sort of dangling behind him,
mm-hmm.
and so he's not as fast as Boo. Can't get away. Gotta try to fight.
Gotta fire a beam.
Beam like a caged animal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay to see that.
Hmm.
At a zoo somewhere. He fires a beam that appears to pierce through Boo, but Boo flips around and seems just fine.
Is this when when he does a flip such that, like, his head crests over his body like the moon over the horizon.
Yes, I believe so.
It was very beautiful. He's just kind of having fun, floating and fighting with his friend.
Boo viciously headbutts Supreme Kai back to the ground again, to Babidi's immeasurable delight.
Is this when he says that he's grounded?
Yes.
Tells you drop dead.
I think my favorite Boo catchphrase is pow, 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 ow, ow, ow.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's to the point.
Well, and I appreciate that he does that before getting into a fight. Like, all right, buddy, I'm gonna mess you up. Pow, 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 ow, ow, ow. It does double duty of, you know, telling his opponent what's up and also getting himself psyched.
Gohan still can't even fully stand up. He tries and then he falls back down.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a big hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why you save your health potions.
Yeah.
A Zenzu bean would hit the spot right now.
Mm-hmm. Boy, boy,
go down
sure
easy.
Just like Gohan did.
That was a Goten burn. Supreme Kai tries to hit Boo with some eye beams. He flashes his eyes blue, says or thinks to himself that maybe this will hold him, so maybe it is a paralysis thing. But Boo just shakes it off.
Maybe it's the same thing that he does on Gohan.
Boo shakes it off and hits back with his own brand of eye beams, which looks like it hurts a lot.
Boy, that is a beam.
This was. Is it bad that this was really funny to me? Yeah. Like, just the timing of it. The timing and, like, that, you know, Shen did this thing and he's like, oh, that'll hold him. And then, you know, Boo shakes off, like, oh, I want to. That was cool. I want to try.
My turn.
Like, it's just. Rah!
He turns Supreme Kai into a bunch of screaming hash lines. Like Vegeta just got hit with the first spirit bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the good old days.
What I don't feel bad about thinking funny is the bit of when we cut to Babidi and we hear Shin screaming in the distance, getting closer. And, like, even if Shin didn't hit Babidi, like, that's the funniest thing to me. Like, if somebody's falling and screaming and, like, falls past the camera, that's just the funniest thing to me.
Supreme Kai does careen into Babidi, or damn near.
Close enough.
And sends the wizard flying. Mm-hmm. The wizard gloats for a bit over this unconscious body and considers a mercy killing. When Gohan flies in to the rescue, Gohan tries to rush in on Boo, but is quickly overtaken by a beam and sent flying the opposite direction, away from the battlefield.
This is another very painful looking beam.
Big, big beam.
He gets caught right in the middle.
Carried off on a ball of it, out to outer space, and dies. And that's the end.
Bye.
That's been Dragon Ball Z.
Thanks for watching.
Please give us the Gohan. We don't have ours anymore. We need your Gohans.
Supreme Kai is able to pull off another I-beam trick to break the key ball and free Gohan, who ends up crashing into some nearby woods.
He crashes into a plot forest.
It might be the same one. Who can say?
It's got the same gentle, sun-dappled pastures. Who can say? Probably the same fool painted it. He is out for a big nap.
Yep, he is also no longer a Super Saiyan.
And Shin.
Like father, like son.
Yep. Thinks to himself, or telepathically says, who knows? But he thinks to Gohan to stay down, because they're not going to go looking for him.
This is one of the instances where I was watching the Japanese, and at that point, he just looks back and he's like, I hope you're not dead.
Aww.
Yeah, these two, like, have it seems like a pretty strong connection for, like, having just met. They seem to be caring about each other a great deal.
I like their bond. They're buddies.
I do too.
They have similar sensibilities, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hercule is doing his best to be a detective and put all of the puzzle pieces together about those weirdos from the Cell Games. Yeah. And also, are they the same people who came and blew up the tournament today?
Who are those other weirdos with
But
them?
Mostly, he's still upset that his daughter is trying to go out with an evil alien boy.
An evil alien boy, nonetheless.
He needs one of those conspiracy walls with the red thread.
He needs to Pepe Sylvia in that room.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
He decides that if his daughter can fly, then damn it, so can he.
Because she's not a trickster.
No.
Or an alien.
No.
That's
so
not a
trick. So clearly, humans have been capable of flight all along. It's just a matter of upper body strength. Not true.
He's got plenty of that.
I love how close he gets to the actual conclusion, which is like, humans are totally capable of flight. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. we're with you so far. You just need to flap your arms a lot. Oh, ooh, almost there. We almost had it.
Did you guys ever try to fly as kids?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You say try like past tense.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta check every now and then, right?
I definitely check every now and then.
Oh. Well, I haven't... I mean, I think about flying a lot. I haven't, like, done the whole running down a hill, flapping my arms a lot thing in a while.
I, as a little kid, had a dream where I was flying that was vivid enough that I also remember asking my mom if I had been flying in the living room.
Aww.
Hercule opens up his window to give it a try, but it's too chilly outside to try jumping out the window.
Yep.
So he's just going to do it indoors.
Save that for later.
A bird flies past as if to taunt him.
He gets out a chair to leap off of, and he cannot fly.
Turns he gets out. Pretty close the second time.
He gives it the
his
old college try.
His mistake is that he started swimming instead of flapping his arms. Started doing breaststroke and then freestyle.
It's like he's never watched Wile E. Coyote. Bobbity is really getting his fill of gloating over an unconscious body of the Supreme Kai.
He's gonna complete the circle of life and death.
Boo mentions that he's getting a little hungry, and he asks if he can eat the Supreme Kai.
All right.
Bobbity's like, fuck yeah, you can. That sounds whack as hell. I want to see that.
What a crazy thing
to do to my arch nemesis.
I love how quickly Bobbity turns around. Because at first he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to murder you so bad. It's going to be so sick. And then Shin like stirs a little bit. And then Bobbity like chickens out. He's like, oh, you know what? On second thought, screw the circle. Hey, Boo, kill this guy. Oh, what, you want to eat a thinking man? Not unlike the hero of the anime we're in? Go for it.
That sounds completely batshit. Hell yeah.
Can I film it?
Escape your beautiful stomach.
Boo is suddenly speared from off screen.
So that's where the spear of Longinus went.
I call bullshit on this because I didn't hear him say, "Ugh, spear!" in the background. But Deborah is back on his feet, evidently.
Wiped
Thanks,
the blood
Deborah.
Out of his eyes. You know what? I'm glad. Like, it's yucky to see a spear come out of someone's tummy, mm-hmm. but, like, I feel
yeah,
like
it
would have been
be
more
tummy.
Yucky to watch Boo eat somebody. Like, the tail was pretty yucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen how eating goes in this
a
show.
Tiny,
yeah.
The Saiyan's eating is a little yucky. Fitting
and it's
somebody in that teeny tiny mouth of booze.
It's not like you're seeing a spear go through him with, like, gore. It's just like poking your pencil through silly putty.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
is what it's like.
Goten and Trunks arrive at the battlefield. They land nearby and decide to un-Super Saiyan so that they can rest and also pretend to be secret agents.
What secret agents are there in this world?
Probably some on TV.
Probably. Well, and I guess if you've got, like, you know, folks like the Red Ribbon Army or like the Emperor Pilaf's gang from Dragon Ball, like, mm-hmm. or whatever, wherever the heck Garlic Jr. was. That was like a whole other place. Mm-hmm. I guess there's people to spy on. Send some corporate spies into Capsule Corp.
They carefully peek over some rocks and realize they have no idea who any of these people are.
So good.
They crawl in for a closer look, because they do at least recognize that Shin guy, because Gohan was talking to him at the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shin,
mm-hmm.
as Goten calls him.
Yeah.
They are confused why only bad guys are here.
I mean,
and where all their friends went.
Mm-hmm.
Friends and family.
Yeah.
Goten spots the Piccolo statue in the distance.
Oh.
There's a person over there.
Weird.
Let's look at that.
So they start to crawl and then run up the hill to go check that out.
Mm-hmm. That was an amazing choice, directorially speaking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Get bored of crawling, so just Sonic run up there.
It's clearly not, like, a BioWare game. You can't walk up a hill that's more than a 20% grade.
Can't vault over, like, something shin high.
Mm-hmm.
They start poking around at the statue, and
wait,
Goten
do you mean
notices
shin
that there's.
High or shin high?
You know what I mean. Goten notices a similar Krillin statue, and they're very impressed with the craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm. Whoever made him did a really good job.
Yeah.
I hope nobody knocks it over.
Trunks sure. knocks it over.
Sure
oh,
hope
no.
nobody fucks up immediately. Oh, no.
Trunks punches the Piccolo statue and it falls over and shatters.
Two things. Number one, I really hope these statues aren't sentient. and it's one of them there I have no mouths situations.
Oh.
Number two, if you had to knock over and shatter one statue, at least you pick the one that can regenerate. So good job.
It's hard to tell if the punching the statue is more a Bulma thing or a Vegeta thing, because I could imagine both of them just casually doing that.
I think it's the muscle of Vegeta with the curiosity of the Bulma.
Yes,
yeah, that's
a
it.
Very dangerous combination.
Yeah.
So it gives Trunks his potential.
That's why they're a power couple.
Deborah tries to convince Bobbity that Boo is too powerful for the wizard to control, and they should work together to get rid of this thing before things get out of hand.
And
then they go through a messy breakup.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
This is bad. Bobbity's like, you idiot, I basically already broke up with you. Clearly I've moved on to a newer, cooler monster.
Bobbity says that Boo has been his entire life's work, and now that he's here, Deborah is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah sounds legitimately hurt by
he's
this.
He's really hurt.
Master Bobbity.
Yeah, what's
he
that M stand for?
Even demon kings have feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boo pulls out the spear right out of his guts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his fine. his new hole just sort of fills in.
Stop.
Whee!
Leaving him no worse for the wear.
A topological impossibility. Fill that right in there.
He's a bubblegum boy.
Boo decides on a new plan.
A new plan?
He's gonna eat Deborah.
Oh no!
That's a bigger meal than Shin.
Any other notes for the episodes this week?
I stopped taking notes at some point, so I couldn't remember exactly when different things reminded me of these things. There's a moment when Boo is advancing on, I don't know, somebody, and the camera shot is from below, and he's like stomping. He really reminded me of, in one of the Honey, I Shrunk the fill-in-the-blank movies, when the baby gets real big.
Uh-huh.
It's
blew
I'm
up
just,
the baby.
Yeah.
And I blew up the kid.
Yeah, that one.
Honey, we fucked up.
He's really reminded me of that. And there's another moment when, I think it's when Gohan is like, oh, he seems pretty chill, and Shin is telling him he's got an instinct to destroy. And I just thought, oh boy, this is gonna be a whole Lilo and Stitch situation. So we just need, we need to find Boo Alila. We need somebody who can put this giant toddler in its place. And I'm really excited. I have a prediction for how we're gonna handle Boo.
Would you like to share it with the class?
I do. Something. It's gotta be Mr. Satan doing
no,
something.
No, makes you say that.
Well, yeah, why is that?
Because he's not the only dad in this show, but I feel like he's the only one.
But
who's
damn it,
done,
he's
like,
the best one we got.
Any
the only halfway
parenting.
Decent dad in this whole goddamn anime. Well, except for maybe Krillin.
Well, and he's the only one who, like, we know we've seen handle a toddler. Like, Vegeta, didn't handle baby Trunks. Goku mm-hmm. was dead for baby Goten. Baby Gohan caused no trouble because he's an angel. I bet Videl got up to some mischief as a baby. I mean, she had to have been a baby who, like, was just getting into stuff.
Yeah, she was a baby detective, too.
Yeah, I mean, baby locks, not for her. So I bet he's gonna be able to just, you know, tell Boo to settle on down.
Pacify the
cut
monster.
It out.
Do we have any other general feelings about Boo now that we have seen the monster? Are we pro or anti?
Monster seems
I
like
love
a
this idiot.
Pro.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe him as a monster. Unless you're meaning monster in the context of like Pokemon or monsters.
Yeah, more or less that.
Well, and, you know, in that he has the power to destroy a universe.
I
this
mean,
fool,
sure.
I love me a good old chaotic neutral. Yeah, and that's what this guy is, 100%.
It feels, Boo feels sort of like a return to the feeling I remember reading Dragon Ball as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Of,
mm-hmm.
like, just silliness, and I wonder if, like, our boys fighting Boo is like how the Red Ribbon Army felt fighting Goku. Like,
in a way, I want the Dragon Ball silliness to meet up with the Dragon Ball Z grotesquery in high relief. And here we are.
And I love it.
I feel like the Stitch comparison was a very apt one.
Yeah, it's
got
really
an instinct
cool.
to destroy. Oh, get this boy a guitar.
Get him some Elvis.
Play him some Elvis. Yeah.
Get this boy an Ohana.
Yeah. Give him a little
just tell him
a grass Ohana's skirt
a kind of
to
snack.
Do the hula. The dance. The hula dance. Get him a hula skirt instead
well,
of that diaper.
Well, it's a Bula dance.
I have a knock knock joke.
Yes. Please.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Boo!
We have
Run
to
away.
Destroy him.
Don't cry. It's time for Baron Minute.
So what's going on in Baron Minute this time?
Oh boy. So
is it a space opera?
Oh, it is for sure a South Galaxy galore space opera. When we left off, Hong Kongo got froze. Roomber did a bunch of transformations, but then took Roomber's true form, which was Marin from the future, and then Marin fell in a hole.
Boba Fettuccini was there.
Boba Fettuccini was there. but so we're on a desert planet, and
it's a desert planet full of hunkos. It's called Fratooine.
Fratooine. Yep, that's it. And Boba the Hunk is there, and he's got a, you know, there's in any empire there'll be a rebellion, and then there will also be, so there'll be a form of resistance, but then there will also be people that kind of work with the empire while also trying to like do their own thing that the empire doesn't like, but they can get away
serve
with it.
Serve their own interests.
I don't remember very much about this movie, but it's okay because Marin and Princess Caterpie are gonna go rescue Hong Kongo, because Hong Kongo, I guess, wound up in the possession of Boba the Hunk because of mm-hmm. reasons. Anyway, they're going to save Honkonko, but Princess Caterpie gets caught. Oh no!
Oh no!
And, I mean, this is South Galaxy, and
boy, things boy are, is it.
Things are wild, but you gotta keep the wildness, like, undercover, so they gotta go out in the desert for their cool parties.
And a very cool party.
Yeah, Princess Caterpie. They dress her up in an outfit that she doesn't like. It doesn't look good. It's not a bikini. It's just, like, not
a
fun.
A lot of people want to cosplay.
It's a burlap sack. It's not
it
nice.
It creates a wave of, she, of popularity.
It's, she would, it's an, a, yeah, it's a fad.
She would
forward.
Love to wear the cool bikini and great, but she doesn't get that because we've got to bow down to Roomba's terrible empire of not being fun. And R2DTF is distracting Bodacious Crumb. They're flirting. R2DTF seduces Bodacious Crumb. They go off behind the throne, which gives Marin an opening to come in and rescue everybody and save the day with her cool lightning powers. And also, I guess there's like a monster in a pit. And
it's just Yakon.
Yakon's there. Yakon's
brother.
It's a Dankor.
Dankor, yep. No,
wrong creature. Don't care.
No, you're right. Or no, wait.
I was wrong. Yeah,
I forget which one we're talking about already.
The one what eats the Boba Fettuccine and burps.
The pit one. It's a Sarlacc. It's got crazy back muscles.
That's more pleasant than what I was thinking. Sarlactation. I'm not happy about it. I'm very unhappy with myself, but there's what it is.
Oh, I immediately pictured
So somehow,
it.
Whatever that oh, creature is, no. eats Boba Fettuccine, just slurps him right up like a noodle. All hell breaks loose because Marin is discovered because she's fighting everybody with cool lightning powers, and you can't do that stealthily.
But Boba Fettuccine somehow survives and gets his cool, badass extended universe spin-off novels and video games.
Oh, awesome!
Because we cannot let him go as a character, no matter what.
No matter what, Boba Fettuccine for life. They try to capture Marin. They can't. She's too powerful. And they're like, "Aw, man, we wanted to capture you and throw you into the pit and watch you get eaten by the Dankor for our amusement." And she's like, "Oh, that sounds dank. I'll go fight a Dankor for sure." So she goes in the pit, starts fighting a Yakon's brother, Dankor. But Dankor's not controlled by an evil wizard. He's just, like, in a pit. And she's like, "Yo, there's sunlight up here. You hungry?" And Dankor's like, "I'm so hungry, but all light and joy is forbidden in the Roomba hegemony, and also I owe Boba the Hunk a lot of money." And Marin's like, "Ah, whatever, screw that, come be my friend, and we'll go out and get muffins." And so they do. They get out of the pit. The Dankor is wearing a cool outfit and has an extra one. She's like, "Oh, I bet that will fit my friend Princess Caterpie." And that's when Princess Caterpie gets the great bikini and cool outfit that she wanted to wear the whole time but couldn't. And they all escape and get Honkonko. What happens next in Star Wars?
They go, there's the moon. With the bears on it.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! And also, because they're gonna sneak in and get the... do a thing to stop.
They have to go make a plan with Mon Matzo Ball.
Yep, they make a plan with Mon Matzo Ball. And
They all think C-3PO is like a god or something. Right? He's a golden god with a golden bod.
It's correct. They're trying to get into this moon because the Roomba hegemony is using it to power the no fun base of no goodness. What did we end up calling that? The Destructo Moon?
I don't remember.
Okay. I didn't listen
to
the
Danger Orb.
The evil orb. They're making a new evil orb because the last one got blown up. And Marin's all worried because she's like, man, how could my future self be this uncool? And is just freaking out about it. But then she's like, I know there's cool in her somewhere. I know it. She has to be chill somehow. And they're going into the moon, and Admiral
Snack Bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Admiral Snack Bar is figures out that it's a trap, and lo, it is so. But they get to the moon anyway. It's all good. Yeah, there's little bears, little teddy bears. And which is kind of weird for Marin, because it's like they're like little children, maybe. Also, we don't, so like there's weird consent issues. I don't want to be, you know, room burmy, but also like maybe I'll tamp down on the horniness while I'm around these teddy bears. And they think C-3PO is a god, so she's like, all right, maybe they're cool. These are cool bears.
Maybe they're down to party.
Maybe it's all fine. And they make a plan, and they get into the evil orb, and but not Marin. Not Princess Caterpie. Yeah, it is Marin who gets in there, but Princess Caterpie's there too, and she's hiding, and Marin's like, oh, is Caterpie here? Oh my god. I'm trying to think of how to deal with the sibling thing, because they're not siblings. They're girlfriends in an open relationship with many, many hunkos.
In space.
And future Marin's like, join with me, Marin. I've left. The universe is heading towards entropy, and we have. Everything ends. And my ex is here, and that's really upsetting to me. I know she's hiding under that staircase. And if we can just hold on to everything and keep it, like, not a party, keep all entropy to, like, a minimum, keep everything as chill as possible, then things can stay and nothing will end and my heart will never be broken again, and neither of our hearts will be broken, and also we can rule the galaxy.
She's not ready to let anyone in.
She's not ready.
She's been hurt before.
She has. We could get into that, but I haven't seen any of the prequels. and also, you know, from what I understand, you know, it's a lot of space politics. So we'd have Jar Jar Binks is there.
Oddly enough, the South Galaxy version of Jar Jar Binks is still just Jar Jar Binks.
Just Jar Jar Binks.
No changes.
And future Marin is like, look over there on that dais. And see my heartbreak, and you look over on the dais, and Marin pulls off a sheet, and it's over a cocooned Princess Caterpie. Future Marin and present Marin, like, they don't know that's like, you know, Princess Caterpie transforming. She thought she was dead.
It'll just take 3,000 years.
But guess how long Future Marin has been in the past causing trouble.
2,999 years and 99 days.
Yes, because they're space years that are 100 days long.
Mm-hmm.
And Marin's like, future me, I know there's cool in you. I know you remember how to party. All good parties end. And then you take a big nap, and then you have a hangover, and then you have an excuse to, like, wear cool sunglasses and eat good greasy food with your friends and plan
another
party.
Have a nice egg roll.
Yeah.
They're really great for hangovers.
You gotta let things go and make out with new people and they kiss. Past and future Marin. And then future Marin is like, alright, I'll let her go. And is gonna throw past Caterpie into the hole that Marin fell into. But right as she lets her go, future Princess Caterpie comes out of her cocoon. Whoa, and she's a beautiful butterfly, and also she's wearing a cool bikini.
I love this.
I want this Caterpie
to be like a very, like, one of those massive, like, those massive moths.
It's massive moth, still still, like, big, beautiful, bodacious bod, like when the caterpillar in oh, not ants, the good one, Bug's Life. When Bug's Life becomes a butterfly, but also, like, big, giant, beautiful wings.
Yeah. BBW, big, beautiful, winged.
Yes. And they get out, they have a party with the bears because C-3BFO and R2-DTF have, like, compiled a practical grammar of their language, and so everybody can talk and negotiate consent. And they have a party, and Future Marin and Future Kevin.
They put on a really great Spotify playlist that's, like, just captures the mood perfectly, and they've got premium, so it's no ads.
Yes. and yeah, the disc, the evil orb, is remade as the party orb.
It's a disco ball. The
space party bus. And so yeah, we'll leave Marin, all the Marins, on their space party bus for now.
Yeah, tune in next week when we answer such thrilling questions as why Marin hates sand so much.
Well, it just gets in everything.
Yeah, it's coarse and it's rough.
Jason.
Yeah?
Do you have a 4-star rating for us?
Boy, do I. So for those uninitiated, what we like to do at the end of each episode is we like to take someone's, usually their manga debut date, and derive from that a potential birthday and horoscope, and we like to read off a little piece of wisdom for them, maybe some premonitions of things to come, maybe some advice they should take to heart. And I've got a newcomer here.
Wait, did somebody debut today?
We've got a manga debut. Well, we've got an anime debut, but that fool has an original manga debut date. We're talking about that good boy. Here comes the boo.
What's his sign?
He is a Pisces.
Oh, dang. I love Pisces.
His manga debut date was March 1st, 1994. So he'd be one of our very few Pisces.
He can't be evil.
So, Majin Buu, here is your reading. Too much partying could have you feeling a little drained today. The food and drink may have been excellent at the time, but today you should eat a plain but nourishing meal. You may not be in the mood for exercise, but a short jog or some light yoga may be just what you need, and it'll help clear your head.
Oh.
You should be back to your old self again by lunchtime.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes into this show every week. Aaron, tell the friends what you want them to know.
Well, if any friends happen to be in or around Dayton, Ohio, they can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I perform on Thursdays in 2 shows now. One of them is, what did we name it? It's Texts from Last Night, where we use those as our prompts. And then the other one is Improvised Movie, where we improvise a movie.
I like that.
And it goes better than the Star Wars that I just did.
I don't know if that's possible.
I think this is hard to top.
Jason, how about you?
Well, I'm in a few spots on the internet, mostly Twitter, but occasionally I'm also on Instagram and Twitch.tv. And the name for all three is the same, you see. That's JCalves, JAYCALVES.
And Melissa.
I am mostly on Twitter and Instagram at Kristaia, KRISTAIA, and I also, under that username, have a little store envy shop where I sell little resin doodad things that I make.
You're selling those now?
I mean, potentially.
Yes!
You can find Destructo Discourse on Twitter at Destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. Pinned there is an invitation to join our fan Discord server. We also accept emails to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would be so kind, please leave us a rating and a review for the show on your podcast service of choice. And make it a 4-star rating. We gotta get our boy back.
We need a replacement Gohan.
We need Gohans.
yank that boy out of the woods, back on his feet. Give us the Gohan.
You need a bunch of them because you need backups.
Yeah, we could do with a few spare Gohans.
We don't have any more Senzu beans.
Buddy, can you spare a Gohan?
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up.
Pow, pow, pow! Pow. Pow. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid to fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth, within it was a magic surprise. Get you through the night, oh Chala, hey Chala. No time to hesitate, gonna search the earth, within it by the magic surprise. Oh Chala, hey Chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through.